To be here, very welcome. I'm Fabio, and I'm here to show you my little robot. Okay, so let's begin. Oh, magic! So here we have our robot. So what is this? This is a ROV, a remote operated vehicle. Okay, it is based on FreeBSD 11, the last one. It is directly embedded inside the ARM board. And it provides an embedded web application via Wi-Fi. So you can drive and pilot the robot via Wi-Fi. This is the antenna, yeah. Okay. It provides real-time video streaming. There is a little camera here. And it provides ultrasonic sensor for reading the distance. These are two. Okay. And there are also some I/O expansion for some actuators, like MOSFET, if you want to switch on some light or drop some little object, okay, just in case. So what I used? I used a BeagleBone Black. It's very famous during these days. This is a really interesting board, and we will see it soon. There is also a protoboard for the I/O. I soldered here on the top of the BeagleBone Black a little board. Okay, I used a Wi-Fi antenna with a USB interface. There is a gimbal for the webcam and the ultrasonic sensor, okay? Everything is based on a hobby RC car. There is a big battery, this side, okay? And some wires and jumpers to connect everything together. This is our BeagleBone Black, okay? It's a really interesting platform, ARM. The features are, it has got 1 GHz ARM Cortex A8 processor, 512 megabyte RAM. There is also a good space for, just in case if you want to store all the operating system inside the board, just embedding the operating system inside the board, okay? Okay, a graphic accelerator, because it provides also an HDMI port, just in case. And very interesting, there is plenty of pins for the input-output. So you can connect every kind of circuit for input and output, okay? Let me show you. Okay, those two are our headers, okay, to connect the input and output. You can configure as you prefer. Okay, what I found is FreeBSD is very stable on this board. The hardware resources are not wasted. You can pack everything very well, so you can have a very low footprint, memory footprint, and almost everything is supported, including the PRU, okay? That's really interesting. Actually, to use the PRU, you have to write assembly, okay? So it's quite, it's not so simple at the moment to access this resource, but could be in the next future that will exist some C library to program the PRU, okay? So this board is, this application board is suitable for networking or data processing. So what you have to do to build the system? There are a few steps. Right now there is a script. It's called the Croquet FreeBSD. You can download it from GitHub. And it's very easy to build a FreeBSD for this kind of board. So let's see. You have to just download the source code of FreeBSD, download the Croquet FreeBSD script, run it, and after, copy the produced image to the micro ESD card. So this was my laboratory setup. It's very simple as well. I got my laptop, okay, as NFS server. connected by LAN with an Ethernet card, Ethernet cable, to the BeagleBone Black. Why this? Because we need a deployment server. Needed for minimize the write cycle on the flash micro SD card. That is very important, okay? Because every flash memory has got a reduced number of writing cycles. If you use an external server for deployment, will be better because you will elong the life of the flash. So I used a separated environment, just exporting the directories to let the operating system inside the BeagleBone Black use the exported directories, okay, and store all the files and build the system. For instance, I had to build a special module for the webcam, and I exported directly the FreeBSD source from the NFS server. Here we have all the exports. I used the source directory of FreeBSD. Even the dist files port subdirectory, okay? Because when you install a port, the port write inside this directory, so it's better to having a separated directory exported by NFS, okay? This is to minimize the writing cycles, okay? And along the flash life. So I also exported the packages port subdirectory because I used this to have a backup of the already built packages, okay? This was really interesting for me because I didn't have to, when I used, I was trying with different card images, okay? So in case you have to burn again, if you have to begin again from the beginning and clone another image card, you don't have to build the ports again. If you have the ports installed as backup inside this subdirectory, you can take it, install it, and it will be very easy and fast. So I also add another export for the extra software. Yeah, this is the URL for the Crockett FreeBSD script, okay? You can find it on GitHub. Okay, so the building procedure is very easy. Just change directory inside the Crockett FreeBSD script. You have to edit the configuration file, upload some modification. For instance, choose that you are going to use the BeagleBone Black board because this script can build FreeBSD images for several boards. Okay? And after launch it, after you will take a quite long break. And when it finished, after 1 hour, 2 hours more or less, you can directly write the image inside the SD card, okay? Use just a small adapter to insert your micro SD card via the adapter inside the USB port of your laptop. It's very useful if you can get one of these. This is a special cable. There is a header. I think there is another slide. Yeah. So this is the BeagleBone Black. There is a special terminal console header. You can just plug the previous serial cable inside this, and you can follow. You can follow all the bootstrap. You can connect. You can connect by, you have three common ways to connect to the serial console, CU, everybody knows that, screen or minicom, okay? And you can have for troubleshooting, for instance, or following an installation or following a bootstrap, no? You can see all the output lines from the kernel, okay? And have an environment also where you can log in and run some command as you were inside an SSH terminal session, okay? So let's talk a little bit about a flattened device tree now, okay? Because I use it and I found it very comfortable, very important. It's really interesting. The benefits are it's like a system to having the definition of all the devices and hardware properties inside an external file and not inside the kernel. For instance, when you compile a kernel for a server, usually you edit the configuration file, you put inside your keys, you edit, for instance, the network device, you change something, and after you build the kernel, okay? In this case, when you build a kernel, you can upload modification after building the kernel because all the hardware definition are outside the kernel. So this is really interesting. Also, you can use the same kernel on a different Beacon Black. Okay, there are two versions, for instance, the white one and the black one. The black one is a little bit more performant, and the white one has got limited memory. But you can still use the same kernel because you are putting, you're using a flattened device tree and defining in an external file all the hardware definition, okay? So imagine you install your kernel on the BeagleBone white, the same kernel inside the BeagleBone black. Just what you have to do is just upload the modification to the flattened device tree file, okay? Now we see it better. Okay, here is written at the boot, U-boot load. U-boot is the loader of the FreeBSD system. U-boot will load the DTB into the memory, okay? The kernel after pick up the keys and load the drivers. This is the logic. So let's review it again. It's used for to describe the hardware, to list all the devices in their properties, to enable or disable driver and devices, to mux the pins for alternative function. Okay? That's really important because BeagleBone Black has got many, many pins, but many of them share different functions. For instance, one pin could be a UART transmit pin, but could also be reconfigured as a pin general purpose input output. Okay, and you can do that. You can do this with the flattened device tree. So in case do you need to re-enable or redefine some I/O pins, just edit the DTS clear text file. This is in clear text, okay? And after you have to compile the DTS into a DTB binary file with DTC. DTC is a tool, okay? DTC, there is a set of tools. Inside this set, there is the DTC, and it's used to compile the DTS file, okay? Oh, sorry. Okay, now let's review together my setup and some results, okay? So what I did is disabled unneeded stuff into the kernel config. This is normal, no? Everybody, when you customize your FreeBSD image, usually you configure your kernel and you keep out the unneeded devices and functions, okay? Just to save memory and have a cleaner system. So I disabled all the debugging, including weakness. This second is important because in this environment we have an easy processing, because there is the video input, there is the at the same time there are more things to process, so it's better to have the debugging completely disabled, okay, to have more room to run the things. I wanted to try a patch set to raise the CPU clock to 1 GHz, okay? So this FreeBSD is quite special at the moment, okay, just a trick, I know, but we will view that. Because I wanted to raise the clock to 1 GHz. The default clock is 500 MHz, okay? So I used a patch, and I patched the U-boat loader. So this already, okay. For this setup, I used the U-boat 2014-01, okay? And I patched that U-boot with this special patch. The patches are from Swebin Bang, okay? The result was the kernel was running at 1 GHz. The CPU got a little bit more warmer. I didn't use yet, but I will do that very soon, to apply, to put on the top a heat sink, because could be possible that the CPU suffer a little bit for this warm, because if you do, for instance, OpenCV real-time processing of the video streaming, you will have a very quite big, quite high temperature of the CPU. Yeah, there is a better solution. I didn't explore it yet, but I would like to do soon. I would like to meet somebody, maybe somebody of you. We could write together a FreeBSD driver that expose a read-write sysctl to reprogram the CPU frequency, okay? What I did using that patches was just modify the source code of the U-boat, okay? But for sure, will be more sleek, will be better, have some kind of driver that provide new sysctl keys to just adjust the CPU frequency. Okay, so let's give a look at the servo. The servo motors, this robot has got 4 servo motors, 2 for the cymbals, okay, and another one for the steering. No, just 3. So why 4? No, are 3, guys. 2 servo motors for the gimbals, 1 for the steering, and the other one, PWM signal, is for the electronic speed controller. So this is just 3, okay? Forget that 4. Yeah, this is a mistake, okay? So we have 2 servo for the camera gimbal, 1 for the steering, and the other is just the ESC, is the electronic speed controller. And it's connected with a simple wire. And it uses a PWM signal to program it itself. And to move the robot, okay? The electronic speed control simply control the main motor of the car. So let's review together a little bit the theory about the PWM signal, because I know that this is not an electronic subject, so maybe not everybody seen that yet. So the servo motors are controlled by the pulse with modulation, PWM, okay? So you can have different width of the pulse, 1 millisecond, 1.5, and 2. Usually this is considered the default range for working with servo motors. The neutral usually is here. So if you send a pulse of 1.5 milliseconds to the servo, it will recognize it as neutral. So it will move to zero, or it will reset to the standby position. If you send to it a signal of 1 millisecond, it will turn, usually it will turn to the lowest point. And if you send it a 2 millisecond signal, pulse with signal, it will turn at the maximum. So in between, there are all the width. So if you want to have, for instance, if you want to turn a little bit to left, just send a pulse with a width or lesser than 1.5, 1.3, 1.2, 1.1, 1.0 usually is considered the minimum. Okay? The same happen if you want to turn on the right. Okay? For instance. So. Okay, now the interesting part. I used an oscilloscope inside my laboratory to check the Beagle Bone Black PWM signal, and I found something really interesting. So I was using normal CTL command to set the frequency and the duty cycle. The duty cycle is directly connected with the pulse width. Okay. So I was changing the period, and the results were quite odd, because I suppose that the PWM driver is not working very well yet, so this needs a little bit more work, and is not also. If you go beyond a level, for instance here, if you rise a little bit this value, okay, it becomes completely unstable, okay? So unpredictable, unstable, so the signal can't be used, okay? If somebody of you is interested to work in this with me, very, very welcome, because it really needs work. Would be nice to have a PWM output signal from BeagleBone Black using our FreeBSD, okay? Okay, let's go on. I found also that the minimum frequency was 1.5 kHz, and this is unsuitable for driving servo motors, because usually servo motors are driven at 50 Hz, so much more lower than that value. So I was trying to configure, but I didn't get lesser than this. Okay, so help, please. So what I did instead is using a TNC board. Okay, TNC board is very nice because it's got a lot of input, a lot of output. You can configure all the input output, and also has got a good number of PWM output signals. Okay, so I put in between the two, in between the BeagleBone Black and the servo motors, I put the TNC. Okay, so what I did is controlling using normal GPIO pins from BeagleBone Black the TNC. And TNC generate the PWM for driving the servo, okay? I hope one day to take it off this, write a very good PWM driver inside FreeBSD for BeagleBone Black, and drive straight our motor servo, okay? From the BeagleBone Black header without the TNC, okay? Okay, what I used to control the GPIO. This guy is really smart, he's really very good. and it provides to us a lot of tools. So I downloaded this library. This library can provide in Perl, Ruby, and Python function to control the GPIO, okay? So this is a little survey about all the GPIO we have. If you see, here we have I2C, SPI bus. All of these pins can be muxed and change the function in something else. For instance, there are pins that can be changed to become UART, so transmission pin, receive pin, and other function as well. Here is not are not written the PWM exit, okay? Because you have to mux the pin, check in internet maybe the right pin that is connected with the PWM signal source and mux it to transform it in what you need. Okay, this is another interesting point. To have the USB working, I had to cut the red and the black wire. These wires are the power supply. Because I wanted to connect more than one device at the single USB port we have available on the BeagleBone Black. So here, there is a small USB hub. It's connected to USB host port of the BeagleBone Black. And in the beginning, I had a lot of trouble, a lot of problems, because it wasn't working, okay? So what I realized after a while was the power, the problem, because inside the BeagleBone Black there is a PMIC that is continually monitoring the USB port to don't give too much current, no, in output to this port. So it will cut the USB port in case there is too much current, no. So to avoid this, I decided to cut these power supply wires. I was here in this car, in this robot. The USB hub is powered straight from a DC-DC converter. Okay, so it's not taking the power supply from the USB port. If you don't do this, it will not work. Okay, I changed it many times. It will not work. Okay. This could be a hint if you want to try something at your home. Okay, right now I have the hot plugging that is working. So if I unplug, for instance, the Wi-Fi. A USB antenna, and I plug it again, it will work. I had some problems with the video frame transmission. I was losing frames, but I think this was due to some wrong setup in my laboratory, because right now, until yesterday, it was working very, very good. So I think it was just my setup at the laboratory. So we are using a Wi-Fi link to pilot the robot. The system, the FreeBSD, inside the BeagleBone Black, is configured to provide access point capabilities, okay? And I used host PD. This way, the user can pilot the robot using a web application. The web application is written in Python using a micro framework called Flask. And everything is installed inside the BBB. BBB is the BeagleBone Black. Okay. So I used a Python Flask web application with WebSocket, a little bit of C code to drive the GPIO pins for the servo motors. This second point I converted in Python, okay, to have everything written in the same language. And if you like it, you can go to my Bitbucket repository, download all the code. And if you are not a C language developer, for instance, or Python, you will enjoy the system without complication. I was writing in C code the code for reading the distance from the ultrasonic sensor. Okay, this is not yet implemented in Python. Okay. And I installed OpenCV for real-time video processing. Okay, to have the video streaming, so imagine here there is the robot with the camera and the operator at his laptop, okay? The operator is watching a web application. Inside the web application, there is a little window with the output, the video output from the camera, transmitted via Wi-Fi, okay? So, to stream this video signal, I used this MJPG streamer. Okay? This is a very old project, but it's very useful, very compact, it's very clean code, it's C language, it's very nice. So, what could I be improve in this? Many, many things, for sure. Beginning from the external aspect, because it's not ready for the mass deployment, for sure. It's just a laboratory setup. So there is a lot of things you can improve. Basically, we can think to improve working at the kernel driver, not driver, okay? A kernel driver to increase the CPU frequency. So I remember I was using a patch, patching the boot code, but this could be even more sleek if we could have a driver to expose new sysctl keys to the user land. For sure, a better implementation of the PWM output signal, because right now it's not working properly. So it could be nice that somebody of you, maybe somebody if he's interested in a collaboration, we could fix the kernel driver. And I didn't have so much time to complete the development with the OpenCV. I had several ideas. So, for instance, combining the information from the distance sensor to have a single view, for instance, a report of the distance inside the video streaming. But I didn't do that because I really had little time to focus on OpenCV. Okay. But OpenCV is really interesting. You can do many, many things, even color recognition or shapes recognition inside the video screen. Everything's in real time. It's a really interesting project. So guys, that's all. Thank you for your attention. So here you have your my email address for questions or if you want to ask something or help, or you want to give me help, okay, very welcome. And my repository on bitbucket.org, okay, is public. You will find some code and the slides, okay? So please flood me questions. Yes?
Can we see it work?
Yeah, okay. I was, the problem is, I wasn't able to connect by Wi-Fi and by this video cable to this screen, so I can show you the video output of the webcam. Maybe if I So what time is it?
You have 20 minutes.
Yeah, so I can spend 5 minutes more, try to set up, take it off this, and switch the systems. Maybe we can have the output of the webcam and something more here, okay? So I will do that in short. Some other question? Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you too. So, at work. We can switch on the lights.